You're listening to the Google Ads Podcast, brought to you by Solutions 8, the Google Ads agency.
Okay, g'day everyone, Glenn from Solutions 8, and we're shooting this video to introduce to you a new member of the Solutions 8 team and family, Dan Nickus. Now, Dan is a Facebook clavier expert, and as a lot of you may or may not know, Solutions 8 have just taken on Facebook marketing and clavier marketing. Now, this is something that we've been working on and chatting with Dan about for quite a while now. I personally have been working with Dan for probably 10 years, in particular, maybe longer. But in particular, using this system that you have developed, I've seen the results of the Klaviyo and the Facebook marketing system that you developed. I've been doing the Google Ads, and we've developed a hybrid package where we have Facebook, Google, and Klaviyo all working together. Now, what we wanted to do was, first of all, introduce Dan, because Dan's going to be managing all the Facebook and Klaviyo campaigns and working with the Solutions 8 Google Ads experts. But in particular, we wanted to just go over the system. Now, this is a system that Dan has developed himself. This isn't an ad hoc system. And like I said, I've seen the results of this firsthand on multiple accounts. And we're going to get Dan just to walk through the infrastructure and the bare bones of the system, give you a bit of a background as to the genesis of the system, why he came about with it. We'll go from there. We'll show you a couple of results from some accounts as well. Dan, take it away.
I love the genesis of the system.
Genesis. Yeah, I've got to chuck it in there. The last few days, I've been deep down the waterhole of Gemini. The new Gemini thing with Google.
All I can think of is Phil Collins now. Thanks for taking the time to let me come and chat with you. Quite a lot anyhow. It's good to get out and introduce myself to the people that obviously already Solutions 8 clients through Google Ads or potentially looking at coming on board. So a bit of background about me. I'm a brand owner first. So a lot of what I learned was self-taught in the beginning, and that was through having my own brand called GearBunch. Still exists today. It's been going. We're in our eighth year now. We started in 2016. So a lot of these lessons and a lot of the systems that I've developed are basically always trying to solve the riddle of online marketing. And it's changed significantly, especially in the last few years. And that's why I developed this system, the genesis of the new system. I don't know how to say it. I called it a matrix because I thought it sounded cooler. But fundamentally, when we first started advertising on Facebook, it was very easy. People weren't aware that we're even putting ads in front of them. It was a case of, hey, this has just somehow popped up in front of you and people would click on it and buy it. Then our users started to get a little bit more savvy and we discovered that we needed better creative. We couldn't just put an image of a product up and people click on it. We needed to create a pattern interrupt, and they became more sophisticated buyers. They got, you know, more options in front of them. They knew what an ad was and they made it, they had the decision that they needed to make. But it would still work going direct to the consumer, trying to sell, optimizing for purchase conversions. Then when the iOS 14 change came in, 14.5 or whatever it was, with the Apple privacy update, it threw a massive spanner in the works about the way that we were all running our paid media. Google thrived during that time because we just couldn't get the tracking on Facebook. And it was very hard to run anything at scale because we just didn't have the metrics and the data to work it out on. And what we found is during that time, there's been a bit of a shift in the way users are using social media and also the way marketers are marketing on social media. So that's why I developed this system. I saw during that time that Google was picking up significantly. It was doing a lot of the heavy lifting. It still owned a lot of the data and it was passing that information through. And we have users that are really intent. Yeah, their intent is to go to Google to try and solve a problem or find something or buy a product. So you think about things that people type into there, and you know that their intent is to go there to find a solution or to buy something. So what I decided to do was shift away from trying to sell top of funnel, cold audience, purchase conversions on paid social. So when I say paid social, I'm talking about Facebook and Instagram, but the same principle applies for TikTok, Snapchat, Pinterest. We just weren't finding that cut through. So when I took a step back and had a bit of a look at everything, the other component that we do really well is email marketing. And we're using a lot of really hyper-focused segments in there, and We're pushing some of that data back through into Google and into our Facebook and Instagram ads, these specific audiences, and they're converting really well. And I was like, why aren't we doing this on paid social? So why don't we develop a system where we create awareness and engagement and we talk about the brand before we ever try to sell anything to them and create these really massive custom audiences that will feed the Google machine so people will become aware of us. They'll go to Google and search for us. Or alternatively, we have this really solid email marketing system in the background, which I'll talk you through a little bit later as well, that picks up based on user behavior, puts them into different segments, or we use the custom audiences we're creating on paid social to market to them there. So instead of it being Facebook and Instagram ads sitting over here, so paid social sitting by itself, Google sitting by itself, and email marketing sitting by itself, we create this system where they all feed each other. So Facebook was creating that awareness and engagement. Because look, at the end of the day, social media has been around for quite some time. People don't like being sold to or cold sold to, unless it's like a trending cheap product that it's like an impulse buy. And most brands aren't that. People are going to social media to be social, but they are still problem aware. They're not consciously thinking, I've got a problem and I'm going to go and try and find a solution on Facebook or Instagram, but they're still consciously aware that, or subconsciously aware that they have a problem that they need to solve. So what we started to do is create campaigns that raise awareness about the brand, that talk about the pillars or the unique selling propositions of the brand and what problems that brand can solve.
I wanted to also mention that you're employed by Meta as well, aren't you?
Oh yeah, that's probably important, isn't it? Along the way, developing these different strategies, and I started to work closely with Meta. I got put on their business council in Australia, which is basically get us all together, people that were using the platform a lot and using it, but they'd get us all together and they would say, okay, this is a new product that we've got coming out. What do you think of this? Did you want to test it? Or what do you think we should do? Do you think we can do things better? And they would actually get our input. And there's some products developed out of those at Business Council that are still around to this day. From there, they actually got me to start presenting internally to the Business Council, because I wouldn't just go from what was out there. I was starting to develop my own systems and strategies, and they were really working better than what everyone else on the council was doing. So I started presenting to them, and then they said, hey, this is, everyone should know this. So they then start subcontracting me, and I still do it to this day, where they fly me around and actually teach businesses how to use these systems. Facebook's global, Meta's global trainers.
We won't get too granular with this, because this, we'll do a 40-foot view of this and a 40-foot view of Klaviyo. Then we'll bring up a case study and just show you, here's something that Facebook, Klaviyo and Google made for a client.
Okay, so I'll just shrink this down a little bit so we can see a little bit more. But fundamentally, this is a matrix. No campaign stands on its own. So I've got the engine here, which is my core campaign. So at what we'll call top of funnel, I'm building awareness and engagement with people. I then take the audiences that I build here, which is people that are engaged with the brand, they visit the website or they visited our page or engaged with their Instagram account. We create those custom audiences. We exclude people who purchased in the last 30 days and we put another campaign in front of them for ad recall. So these are people we've created touch points with, they've watched our videos, they've clicked on our links, they've been to our website, haven't made any purchases, no buying intent yet, but they're aware of us. So we're making them aware that we're the solution. I then try and create more trust with them by talking about the unique selling propositions of the brand, how the brand solves this problem. And we do that in a variety of different ways. From there, what we do is we have what we traditionally call our bottom of funnel, where we convert all the users that have viewed content or they've added to cart, but they haven't purchased anything. That is the first time that we actually try and get a conversion from these people.
So your TOF and your MOF, you're not optimizing for sales. It's all brand awareness, making people solution aware, content solution aware, and then your BOF, you're just focusing on the conversion action.
We, especially at top of funnel, we try to emulate what influencers do in the market. Have a lot of user-generated content that we use, and we push that out. I push that out with a post-engagement objective. And the reason is because I'm trying to replicate what influencers do for brands. So influencers will say, pay me $500 and I will post this post for 24 hours. I thought to myself, I can get user-generated content. I can actually put a small budget behind this and I get CPMs of around $2. If I'm hitting 1,000 people for $2, that means that I'm going to hit multiple thousands of people for the equivalent cost of $500 from the influencer. Whilst it's not the same, it is an influencer compared to an ad, it does mean that we're getting that reach, we're getting that awareness, we're creating that engagement. And yep. the advantage of us doing it is that we can create those custom audiences on the back end. Not a lot of people, not a lot of influencers will give you access to the custom audiences and let you remarket to them. So then the second stage I'm at, where the middle of the funnel is, I'm not trying to sell to them again. At this stage, I'm trying to increase brand recall. So Facebook's got an optimization in there where you can put it in front of people for brand recall. And you've probably seen them as a user. Very occasionally, you'll get asked to do a little survey. I don't know if you've seen them, Glenn, but I to get them. It's like, do you remember this ad from such and such? Have you ever seen those surveys come through on your feed?
No.
Periodically, they'll send out these surveys and people either click yes or no. I got one from a brand the other day, Mini. It was like the cars, Mini. And it was like, do you remember this ad? And I actually said, no, I didn't remember the ad. I don't even remember searching for it. It might have come up, but I'm not interested in Minis. I'm not feeding that brand awareness for them. I don't have that brand recall or the ad recall, but other people would. And they'll get to a different bucket. So the algorithm's out there finding them. And so by the time we then market to them at that bottom of funnel, I'm using dynamic product images in the catalogs, and we're putting those products back in front of the people that we know are problem aware and solution aware. And they're also aware of all of our unique selling propositions and everything that we can do. And we address that through copy. We'll sometimes talk about if shipping's available, talk about free shipping. If where the product's made, if it's made in the US or made in Australia, wherever they're from, we'll put that in there. If you've got some sort of guarantee, we'll put that in there. If you offer buy now, pay later solutions, we'll put that in there. So all those usual barriers that you as a brand owner know when they pop up fairly regularly, you'll actually optimize your website for it. And you'll say on your website, the conversion rate optimization, we've got buy now, pay later, we've got a banner that says free shipping. But then we put an ad up and we don't talk about any of these things. I thought, well, why don't we? So we then have these different ads going out addressing all these different pain points or potential barriers that people might have. And we overcome those before they become an issue. And then when we put them in this bottom of funnel, traditional bottom of funnel, we find that a lot of the barriers that already existed are gone, because we've already spoken to them at top of funnel. They don't qualify for the middle of funnel unless they've engaged with us. It's not luck that they see those middle of funnel ads, and they're not getting the bottom of funnel ads unless they've gone through the top and the middle. We know those people know who we are, what we're about, and they've got a bit of an idea about what we do. The other way that I do, the other thing that does feed into it is we create a loyalty campaign. Now, the easiest customer to convert is an existing customer. We don't have to build this trust again. We don't have to try and convince them that we're the solution to their problem, especially if you've got a consumable-based product or a product that wears out or runs out. And this is very applicable to the example I'll show you. We've got a water filter company that we run this whole system on. Obviously, the filters run out and they need replacing. So this is where, or they want other products in the range. So we push through from our email marketing and from the website all of the buyers. And we use the pixel info, we put all the buyers in there, and we push other ads at them, push other ads in front of them. And that's what we test our new creatives. And even if the people don't become repeat buyers again and again, there, what we do find is that they do engage with the content. And when they engage with the content, it's usually positive. I've got this, I love it, I couldn't live without this. Whatever it is that they say, they'll like, they'll share, they'll comment, we take these creatives that we've put in front of our loyal customers, and we push them back into our middle of funnel. So we'll take the ad ID with all of that social proof, all that positive comments and the liking and the sharing, and we'll push that back into middle of funnel. So when people coming from top of funnel and middle of funnel, they start seeing these ads, it not only solves their pain points, there's that social proof, and it's people actually really love this. This person's actually bought it before. Again, we're overcoming another barrier.
You're hitting the consensus influence point, aren't you? There, a lot more people giving a lot more positive feedback on the product. Yeah.
And look, the algorithm loves that as well. We're giving good signals back. It's going to then push that a little bit further. If you've got a very spammy, a very crappy, junky product or ad, and you get negative feedback, you're not going to see those cheaper CPMs. They're actually going to jack your price up in the auction. It's just why they do it, because their focus on social is user experience. It's not us as advertisers or brand owners that want to try and market. Yes, they make money out of us, but their number one priority is the best experience for their user. So they reward good content, good products, good service, positive comments.
And what about your scaling campaigns here?
So the scaling ones is once we get all this to work, we can start to scale by now going for a purchase conversion at middle of funnel, using our winning audiences that we've got out of our loyalty section. And then there's also another way that we try and convert, that's using Advantage Plus. So that's very similar to PMax in Google Ads. It's a coverall that comes in. We use a dynamic creative there. We do some special things by putting frames and logos in that not a lot of other people do as well. So this whole thing just keeps feeding itself. Top of funnel feeds middle of funnel. Loyalty creatives feed middle of funnel. Bottom of funnel is fed by middle of funnel. The warm middle of funnel here, you get the idea. It's just all interweaving with itself. And guess what happens when you do this? You build top of funnel, middle of funnel audiences. They come to your website. They're going to fill in your lead forms or your sign-up forms or your pop-ups when they come to the website. What they're also going to do, and we can see this using tools like Northbeam, and we can see this customer journey, is that they'll engage with us at top of funnel, middle funnel. Then they will go and do an organic search on the brand in Google Ads, or they'll get picked up in a brand campaign, or they'll get picked up in PMax with the remarketing that's going on there.
Or direct.
Yeah. They're typing directly into the URL. But the point I'm making is that we see a lift in everything. We see more subscribers coming through Klaviyo, and we see a lift in the spend and return on Google because the audiences are getting bigger. There's more people aware of the brand, aware of the products, aware of the solution. So they keep feeding in.
And how does Klaviyo fit into all this?
So Klaviyo...
We'll specify, whilst it's email, it's specifically Klaviyo, isn't it?
It is. 100% it is because it integrates the best with e-commerce.
Yep.
It's phenomenal. Not so much for service-based industries, things like that, but for e-commerce, we won't use anything else. So we create a special system that in part replicates this matrix here. So we've got 7 flows that we have, and this is the journey we take people through. So initially, we'll have a flow. These are automated, and we set all these up for brands. Leads retarget. So this is people who've opted into our sign-up form or our pop-up, but they're not customers yet. So we want to take them through a journey very similar to the top of funnel journey that we have on our Facebook and Instagram strategy. If they then on the website go and look at something on there, we'll call them warmer audiences, we'll create and ban and browse. So they're like window shoppers. Again, yep. They're in a different segment, moving more towards our middle of funnel strategy.
Just to touch on that abandoned browse too. So the abandoned browse, for those that aren't aware, is they are, if someone comes to your website, even if they don't click add to cart, they could just be looking at a product and then they bounce. They are now straight away into a flow because Klaviyo has a feature that if there's some sharing of emails across all Klaviyo customers, yeah. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, so it works very similar to your Facebook or Instagram pixel or your Google scripts or tags. So it's just tracking people across your website. So we get them as window shoppers. They're like our middle of funnel, abandoned cart, and abandoned cart. That's your traditional, someone fills in your cart or puts something in the cart, doesn't enter any of their details, they've abandoned the cart. Same technology as abandoned browse, picks them up and they get put into that segment. Again, we're at that middle of funnel stage. Moving more towards the bottom of funnel, we've got abandoned checkout. So this is people with a lot of high intent, but they filled in all their details at the checkout stage but left. Again, you can see how this is replicated in the paid social strategy and in turn, it's replicated in the Google Ads strategy. When someone does become a customer, we welcome them with either a new or return customer split. And the reason that we do that is that loyalty that we're talking about. It's easier to convert someone from if they're already a customer, into a repeat customer. So our intent with this is initially to try and get them to become a customer. But then we hit this area here where there's loyalty. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to convert them into a repeat customer. And then our next intent is to make them into a multiple customer, not just a one-off repeat customer, but reduce that time frame down between purchases. Obviously, they're fitting with your brand, but we're looking at that frequency of purchases then.
These systems down the bottom are designed to increase your LTV.
Correct. We're going for that loyalty. And guess what happens when they come to your website and they do all these different things? It builds up the audiences in your Google Ads. It builds up your custom audiences in your Facebook and Instagram ads. And you can see how they all just keep feeding each other. Might not have converted them on an ad from Facebook. Hey, look, they've signed up. We've now got them at this stage here where they've abandoned the cart or abandoned the checkout. That is going to trigger an email, but it's also going to put them in a custom audience in Facebook. And it's also going to put them into an audience in Google because all the different scripts are firing.
Yep.
So then we've got cross-sells, upsells. This is where our repeat customers, we're looking at our normal add-ons that we have. Again, has to be something appropriate for your brand, but most brands do have something we can cross-sell or upsell to. Winbacks. So this is, we try and also re-engage with customers that become disengaged with us. So at some stage they were a customer, they haven't purchased from us for a while, they're not engaged with us, so we try and incentivize them to come back. There's also campaigns that go on top of that. So this is your business as usual. This is always running in the background. They're always optimized and updated, and they contain a lot of content. But then there's still your normal campaigns, of which we send between 2 to 4 campaigns out a week for brands, depending on what they want, how big their list is, how active they've been in the past, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I'll just show you some, just to show you this works. Like, this is for 6 months, the last 6 months, we've been running this exact strategy on a brand. I won't say the brand's name, but we've been running this exact strategy on a brand where we do their paid social, so their Facebook and Instagram ads. We've got their Google ads, and we've also got their Klaviyo. And this whole system just works up. So they've doubled their revenue in the last 2 years working with us, and this system in the last 6 months has really ramped it up. This is their real-time ad account. You've got 1st of August 2023 to the 5th of February 2024, so we're going 6 months worth of data. This is only things that have had delivery during that time, and we've got spend of a bit over $500,000, so the system's working well, at a ROAS of 5.54. Purchase conversion value sits at $3.1 million. Not bad. Conversion rate 6.31 for that. And you can see here, I'll click through and I'll show you. These are in Australian dollars, so they do come down a little bit more. We look at that top of funnel, and this is for two regions, it's Australia and New Zealand. So I'll just show you the Australian Klaviyo in a minute, but that's why you'll see AU and New Zealand in here. But you look at this here, we're looking at CPMs of $5.11 there at top of funnel. Top of funnel down here, $4.44. Middle of funnel, where we're building that brand awareness, $9.40 to CPM. And the crazy thing is, we even had conversions at a ROAS before on middle of funnel. There is no intent to get purchases there. This is purely just brand awareness, ad recall lists. So still, because we're talking to them, we're saying the right things. You can see the cold brand one. It's got a really low conversion rate. That's just because we're creating awareness there, engagement. We then move through a little bit further, and this one's been scaled out, obviously. The middle of funnel purchase one that we're talking about, the wall middle of funnel scaling campaign, it operates at 7.11 ROAS, so 15,000 spent for nearly 112,000 return. If we then look at the other scaling ones, so the bottom of funnel here, which is the traditional bottom of funnel that we're talking about here, it operates at 15.81 return. Again, 17,000 in, 272,000 out. People are saying, well, why don't you scale that harder? We need to be mindful of frequency. We don't want to annoy people if those audiences need to be big enough. And these are the other extra scaling options that we had here that we talk about here when it's working with the Advantage Plus. And they're operating at 5.69 and 4.95. And that's a mixture of top and bottom of funnel there, top, middle, and bottom of funnel. Our loyalty one, where we come in and we test all the different creatives that we push into the middle of funnel, they're operating at 13.5. So these are real figures. This is 6 months. This isn't like we've had a good run for 2 weeks and we're going to go and tell you, hey, this is amazing. Like, this is legitimate. This is 6 months of consistency. This is, yes, there was Black Friday in the middle of that, but there was also your January, where traditionally have a bit of a downturn, or there was the middle back as far as August. Yes, this is all the quarter three and all the quarter four. If we look at the Google ads, again, a slightly lower spend, but we've spent about 200,000 in here, and it's brought in over 900,000 at a ROAS of 4.54. So again, excellent ROAS. You can see brand is doing really well here. As you'd expect with this creating all this awareness and engagement, people are then coming and looking for the brand. It operates at that 13, nearly 14 ROAS. Your cold top of funnel does well, PMAX does well, but I won't go into the actual, some of the background of some of these products about why they done well, yep. Done well, but you get the idea. It's actually fantastic.
That's even with some of his best sellers being out of stock quite regularly.
Yeah, that's probably what I was getting at, is that, yeah, it did have some best sellers out of stock.
Yeah.
So I've got...
And what about Klaviyo?
So Klaviyo, if we look up here, last 6 months, so you can see here, we've got 1st of August 2023 to the 28th of January. This is just one of the regions. There is the other region as well, which is why you'll notice there's a discrepancy between There was 3.1 million in here on Ads Manager and purchase conversion. Here it's 2.2. The other region makes up the remainder of that. It's a different Klaviyo account. It's a different website. But fundamentally, our systems have brought in 31.15% of their revenue.
And that's another metric I just wanted to bring up too. When you're doing an audit of an account, you are basically saying email should be bringing in around 30% of your total revenue, shouldn't it?
I'll say 20 to 40%.
Yep.
And that sort of gives me a good leeway. Some brands operate in that mid-20s, some which is still better than where they were when we take over. Some operate up as high as 50. Our average is 30. But we're dealing with a broad range of different brands and products and some strategies they've got. But consistently, when we have paid social working with Facebook and Instagram, we've got the Google ads being run properly, and we've got our system set up in here, 30% is what we see. When we see a little bit of drops off in there, it's usually because we're not in control of one of those levers. So we're not sure whilst they're doing, we know they're doing a reasonable job at it, whether they're doing it internally themselves or whether they've got another agency doing it. What we do find is we don't have total control over it. So we can't pull the right levers at the right time to try and force those figures to where we want them to be. And just you can see in here the flows. These are our pre-purchase. So this is the ones that where people are signing up to the list if they haven't purchased yet. It's brought in 161,000 this year. Abandoned checkout, abandoned browse, abandoned cart. We do incorporate SMS in as part of this strategy. It supplements what we're doing. We've got our filter reminder service here. So these are the ones that are the upsells, cross-sells. Remember I said you have consumable products that wear out, or they get eaten or they wear out, like coffee companies, clothes wear out, or people want to wear matching clothes. This is where we've got those upsell, cross-sell flows. And we do have a strategy where we run a lot of giveaways, but that's probably can't get into that right now. It'll take way too long.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about that another day. Yeah.
But you can see here, we've got our recent campaigns as well that we're running. So we're getting campaigns that are generating thousands of dollars every time. Open rates of up over 40%. Click rates, depending on what it is we're sending out, vary anywhere from 4.27 down to 0.57. Fundamentally, people are still interested. They're still opening them. They're still making great revenue out of them. The heavy lifting is done by the campaigns. They make up about 60% of the revenue that comes through on email, with the flows making another 40. So we sometimes find brands would take over, they're running their campaigns well, but they've got no flows, they're leaving 40% on the table. They're missing out on it. Not to mention how that impacts on the performance of paid social and Google if you're not creating more touch points with these potential customers or existing customers you're trying to convert into repeat customers.
Cool.
That's our system in a nutshell. A very big nutshell and a very complicated
There's three spokes in the wheel. There's Facebook, there's Klaviyo, there's Google. They all work together.
Yeah.
Whilst it is a system and a templatized system that you've got, everything is individualized to the brand, isn't it?
Has to be. And to the point that we ask people for their brand kits, everything is specific to the brand, their customer avatar, the creative, the style. It's a daily task. We're in there. We're in these accounts every day, making sure things are doing what they need to be doing.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been a client that we've worked on implementing all these three levers, and we'll call it an omnipresent or multi-channel, whatever we want to call it. There isn't a brand that we've worked on that this has not worked for in terms of we've seen a lift in performance. We see varying degrees of success, but we're always seeing success here using this strategy because it is such a logical strategy. And it does play on the algorithm in Facebook and Instagram. It does then create that intent for Google. And we do have that other touch point with them through email where we just keep pushing them through the system and pushing them through. Not to the point that we're annoying, but just so to the point that we're still present and relevant to them. Because if you're not doing this, your competitor's going to be doing it.
So if anyone's interested in or they want to get a free audit from Dan, now, just to reiterate to Dan that whilst it's in a user's best interest to have Facebook and Klaviyo together, isn't it? Because it's just the way they work.
You've got an active integration that connects the two between each other. So you can connect these segments you make out of Klaviyo into your Facebook Ads Manager. It also connects to Google. Like it's just a whole synergy between them all.
One of the things we also do is inside Google Ads is creating custom match lists. And if you don't have a third-party tool that creates that, And because we like to have it synchronized in real time, we can just drag it directly from Klaviyo. That is a great feature, I have to admit. Awesome. That's great. Thanks for sharing all that with us. We'll drill into some more details in our next catch up. In particular, we can go over maybe the Evergreen prize giveaway, which is
giveaway strategy. Yeah.
That works really well. And I think you and I are going to be kicking off a bit of a hybrid pretty soon using YouTube ads and check the performance using this brand. So that will be a good case study, actually.
Yeah. And so if you do want an audit, please reach out. It's an audit of both your paid social account. I'm assuming Google will be offering it as well. There's no harm in having someone look at it. You could be missing out on, you could be doing better. It isn't like a precursor to you have to use us now. It could just be that someone, a fresh set of eyes looking at it, going, hey, yeah, you are on the right track, or you could be doing this better, or hang on, you're missing out on a lot. That's normally the one we find, is that people just don't know what they don't know. And then when we have a look at it, I'm like, you guys could be doing so much better. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And the great thing is that these custom audiences we make and your email list that you've got, that's your data. You own it. So you can use it how you want. And you might as well, you're paying to have these leads, you're paying to get the traffic to your website. You might as well squeeze as much juice out of it as you can.
Awesome, mate. Thank you for your time. Great chatting with you as usual. Till next time.
Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the Google Ads Podcast. For more ways to grow your business with Google Ads, you can subscribe to the Solutions 8 YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. And if you'd like to work with the best Google Ads agency in the world, you can visit Solutions8 at sol8.com.
Kasim here. If you're running Google Ads, even if your campaigns are successful, my years of experience have taught me that there are almost always enormous improvement opportunities. Now, what if the best Google Ads agency in the world was willing to review your Google Ads campaigns for free and provide you with a comprehensive action plan, no cost or obligation? Notice, I didn't say audit or evaluation, I said action plan. A bullet point by bullet point breakdown of exactly what needs to be done to improve your Google Ads campaigns. Yours to keep, no cost or obligation. Head over to sol8.com to get a free Google Ads action plan customized for your business. No strings attached. That's sol8.com, sol8.com.